Welcome to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's people.
Warning Messiah, warning Yeshua, warning the olive tree, Jew and Gentile, warning Messiah, warning Yeshua's love, Jew and Gentile, warning Messiah.
Welcome to Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen, brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas. Today we have as our guest, Pastor, Brother, Dr. Patrick LeBlanc, along with, of course, Pastor of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, Willie Milbury, and I'm Ed Fox, Director of Education for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Pastor LeBlanc in 2010 wrote his first book on entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven. This book is about diversity and unity in the church. This book and its subject matter will be the topic of discussion today. Go ahead, Pastor.
Good afternoon to everybody. Good to be here. We have a couple things before our guest speaker comes to join us. We just want to say it's really, really good to be here. Good to see you, Brother Fox, Eddie, and Brother Pastor Patrick LeBlanc. I heard that LeBlanc.
Yeah, I like that.
That just takes you up a couple
That's
notches.
That's exotic.
LeBlanc. LeBlanc. Okay, we're nice. Okay. So, anyhow, I have a couple things I'd like to hit before we get into our program. This is just a little thing. I call it my little public service announcement. I just had eye surgery, and I had a detached retina on my right eye. And I just want to say there's a lot of prayers and everything. Everybody was wishing me well. But I think I better take a minute here just to inform the public. I had signs that there was problems with my retina that I ignored. And I'm hoping that there's a lot of folks out here sitting here maybe who did like I did, where I would see these flashing lights out of my right eye, but there was no train. It was just my right eye. And I would see the lights flashing just like you would in a train thing. And then every once in a while I would see these floaters going past, this little kind of ghostly looking thing. Yeah, they call them floaters.
Okay.
And when they stopped, I figure, okay, everything's okay, no problem, you know, they're not there anymore. Well, I did not know that was signs that there was trouble with my retina. Yeah. So I just want to let everybody out here who might be listening, when you see those signs, go to the doctor, and it might not be anything. It might not be anything, but just go ahead, have them check it out.
Pastor, was it painful?
This, for me, prayerfully and thankfully, no, it wasn't. Lord was very, very gracious, because I don't do well with pain. But it was just really, really good. And but the biggest thing was I ignored the signs.
Right.
And that could be disastrous. So please, if you're out there and you see these little floaters and you see these flashing lights and there's no train, go see your doctor. Go see what's going on.
Amen.
Okay, so that's enough of my little public service announcement. We are inviting people to come in to our little conversation here and listen for the joy. Listen for the joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. Primarily how this all came about, and we just doing a little recap here, is to let people know that when the Lord really tugged on our hearts about Romans 11:11, where he said that he saved us, the Gentiles, he grafted us into the tree, the Gentiles, and he grafted us in so that it might provoke the Jew to jealousy.
Amen.
And with that in mind, I just was just thinking, you know, what does that mean? How do you go about doing that? Because when we were all taught, when it comes down to evangelism, and when we get to Pastor LeBlanc, we're going to even try to hit this a little bit harder. We're just pretty much concerned with us, no matter what the culture is. And, you know, no matter what the culture is, who it is, it's a human condition.
Yes.
And so, but God says, I have a better plan. And it's good to go and, you know, it's good to be concerned about friends and family, et cetera, et cetera.
But when you look at God's plan in the book of Romans, where he says, I broke off the branch of Judaism so that I could graft you into the tree.
Yes.
And he says, and then when they look at you, when they see the blessings and the joy, the joy. See, again, the key is, for anybody listening, if you don't have that joy, then keep your mouth shut. Because people don't want to hear what you got to say if you don't have the joy. Mm-hmm. And so when he says, when the Jewish community, when they see that joy, because this radio program is primarily directed to evangelical Christians, Bible-believing folks. When they see that joy in your life, he says, then that makes them jealous. And they want to have what all that we read in the Old Testament and all the Old Covenant, how David danced for joy and all those things. They want that back. And then they want to know more about Jesus or Yeshua, HaMashiach. They want to know more about him. And that gives us the opportunities to witness to him. And then, miraculously, God says, I broke that branch off to graft you in. And he says, what happens with us as Gentiles, we start thinking too highly of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
And we start thinking, well, hey, we got it made. And God said, wait a minute. He said, understand this. You obtained mercy because of their stumble. And I believe it's Romans 11:30. This messed me up. When he says, now, because of your mercy, they will obtain mercy. Mm-hmm. Do you hear what God is saying? God is saying to you, me, and Joe, average, everyday Christian, when we make his folks a priority, just giving them the gospel. Where do you see them? You see them everywhere. Waitresses, doctors, lawyers, bank people, co-workers. You go to school with them. Everywhere. He says, you just start talking. And that's why Brother LeBlanc is here, because he's the expert on getting folks to start talking to other people.
Yes,
and because we're scared. We don't like talking to other people. But if you understood that somebody's salvation lies in the balance.
In the balance.
Don't you love them enough? So anyhow, so that's why we're here, and our program is designed to provoke the Jew to jealousy so that he might want what we have, which is that joy, and then God will graft him back into the olive tree. And then look what God said. He goes, if you being a wild branch, we're getting stuff done. Yeah, we are getting stuff done.
Right, right.
Okay. He said, if you put the good one back into, he goes,
how much more are we going to
get? Oh, man. So that's what this program is all about. We want to share what God has placed on our hearts to do, and we want that the people out here, you might want to call in during this program. Eddie, tell them where they can call in.
We have a line, 972-996-3970. If you want to call in, 972-996-3970. And we even have a Facebook address or URL, www.facebook.com/GSBC, listen for the joy. No spaces. GSBC, listen for the joy.
Amen. And so as we lead up to Pastor LeBlanc, by the way, you're going to get just a little bit of Pastor LeBlanc today. But if you want to hear, what was that guy, Paul Harvey? If you want to hear the rest of the story, you have to come to church tomorrow at 1880 Mayfield Road, Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, where my brother will be preaching for us, because I'm blind in one eye and can't see out the other. And so he will be preaching for us on Sunday, bringing the message, and he'll give you a lot more of what he's talking about, because we've just become acquainted with each other. The Lord is bringing us into each other's orbit, and when you hear what this brother wrote in his book, and that was what, 2004?
2010.
That he wrote his book, and it's just... It's timely. It's right on topic right now, because things haven't changed a whole lot since that time period. So we have for tomorrow, we have Pastor LeBlanc. Sunday school starts at 9:15. Worship service starts at 10:45. Come on out and join us tomorrow at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And also coming up on April 15th and 16th, tax time. We call it tax relief. Tax relief. We have the homiletics conference. Our eighth annual homiletics conference.
Yes.
Go ahead and say, what is a homiletics?
What is a homiletics?
It's this bowl of stuff that you eat. No, not really.
That's how many grits.
Oh, okay.
Y'all don't know nothing about grits.
Yeah, no, we don't. But by the way, Pastor LeBlanc is also a qualified chef as well. So, we'll get into all this. But our eighth annual homiletics conference, homiletics is the art of preaching. And people are always saying, well, where's the next great preacher coming from? Oh, preacher so-and-so and gone on to glory. Well, God used him, but God's hand is never short. Amen. So to that end, God has allowed us.
Amen.
This is our eighth annual homiletics conference. And what we do here is it started with Southern Bible Institute in Arlington Baptist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Southern Bible in Arlington Baptist, which is now Southern Bible Institute and College. Arlington Baptist, which is now, it was ABC, but now it's Arlington Baptist University. So we have two graduating preachers coming from Southern Bible, Arlington Baptist, Southwestern Theological Seminary, and Criswell.
Wow.
And so we have two nights of just phenomenal preaching.
That's right, Pat.
And I want y'all to know, this is an unabashed fundraiser. Mm-hmm. We are trying to raise funds for the Good Shepherd. Get no money out of this.
Right.
We get the pleasure of hosting it, but schools never have enough money. Mm-hmm. And so we want y'all to come on out. Mark, how you say, save the date. Tax time, tax relief, April 15th and 16th, Monday and Tuesday, the 8th Annual Homiletics Conference, where the theme is Stir Up the Gift of God.
Mm.
So I think I got everything I want to get touch base on, Eddie, and I think it's about time for us to talk to this pastor. Been sitting over here patiently.
The Gremlinite.
Gremlinite. Yes, okay.
I thought you knew.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The next voice you hear, we're going to introduce to you Pastor Patrick LeBlanc. He is currently serving as the professor of evangelism over at Southern Bible Institute and College. So we are looking forward to this. Pastor LeBlanc, before we get started talking about how to save other folks, how'd you come into saving faith?
First of all, thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. I'm excited about the time to be here. And I know God's going to do great things through what we have yet to put together. But I came to know Jesus Christ in my teenage years. Walking the streets of Grambling, Louisiana, had always been in church, but basically was just going through the motions. I was at church every Sunday, Wednesday, prayer meeting, usher board meeting, dark circle, whatever, man. If they had it, we were there. But I was truly just going through the motions. And but one day God spoke to my heart. And just basically told me he was going to always be with me.
Amen.
And I knew exactly what it was because, I was in church, but the world had such a hold on me that I just didn't want to release that. So played church for a little while, and then God said, now it's time to stop playing and come on and do what you've been chosen to do.
Wow.
So,
Amen. Wow. Amen. And that's when he planted this. And that's that joy that you felt on that day, because you know when folks get saved,
yes,
you know you can't talk about
it,
Jesus.
You can't. It's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. It's nothing can replace it. I don't care what they tell you. And the problem is though, the minute that happens, the adversary now puts them in the crosshairs, and so
Amen. He's
going to come and try to do a whole bunch of stuff to make them think that it's not what you think it is, and how you going to give up the kind of joy that I'm offering you, which is temporal, but that joy we get from Jesus is an everlasting, eternal joy. So.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor LeBlanc.
Yes, sir.
This is Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, and we're located at 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. We're located just two lights west of Highway 161 at the intersection of Mayfield and Waterwood Roads. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. www.thegentilewoman.com. If you want to call in, our call-in line is 972-996-3970. Again, it's 972-996-3970. And by the way, we're also on Facebook at www.facebook.com/GSBC Listen for the Joy. That's www.facebook.com/GSBC Listen for the Joy. Now, Pastor LeBlanc, at what age did you get saved?
16. It was 16. I was six, a little bit the summer of my going on 17 years of age. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of the things that Pastor and I have always talked about is what's unique about Christianity? I mean, the thing that we hear from every other religion is there's certain things that you have to do in order to be saved. Is that how it is with Christianity as well?
Well, it's not what I read. It's really a simple process, and sometimes people don't realize the simplicity of it. It basically says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved.
Wait. What? No, it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple.
Is that easy? You just confess him as Lord and Savior, and that's it. That's it. And it's amazing how we oversimplify it, and I'm a man that believes in education, but it's that simple.
It's really that simple.
It's that simple.
Hey, you know what? I bet you that's why they call it the good news.
The good news.
The good, the good news. Is that what the word gospel means?
That's what gospel means. Good news. Good news. And we are charged with being broadcasters of that good news. So I think that we owe it to everyone we encounter to just share some good news. With everything that's going on in the world today, I mean, you know, we could be that beacon of that one good news that they hear for that day. So let's make it happen, man.
What are we being saved from? I mean, why do I need salvation?
Well, you need salvation because you don't want to spend your life in a sea of fire or sea of damnation. You know, people don't realize that Jesus said he came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And so that's, you know we have the eternal promise of life, but okay. We can also have life now and have it more abundantly than we're currently having it. You know, we need to realize that in spite of all of our power that we think we have, we can do a little bit more if we got Jesus on our side.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
When I hear you talk, I mean, you're just infused with joy. Don't you read the papers?
I do.
Don't you go on the internet?
I do. And at one point I said I was going to stop, but, you know, I read somewhere that we are more than conquerors.
Oh, yes.
Somewhere I read that. Somewhere.
So we're not the victims.
We're not the victims. We're the victor. Amen. We are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. And I think we need to realize that. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have some bad days. That doesn't mean that it won't rain on us. But I tell my children all the time, the only way you're going to get the flowers to grow is that they got to rain on them a little bit. They got to get a little rain. And I remember a long time ago, my grandmother used to, bless her heart, used to tell me when things were going bad, she just said, baby, it's just raining. It's just raining.
Ooh, I like
it. It's raining. It's going to be better.
And when you have an eternal outlook.
Yes.
You have an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
It changes how you look at this world.
And I think that's what we need to do. We need to change our internal perspective or how we perceive things. You know, and knowing God and having a relationship with him will help us to do that. Because it says all things work together for good. And if you just look up the definition of all means all.
Oh.
All means all. All means all. And so
you know Hebrew and Greek, don't you?
Yeah, it means
what does all mean in Hebrew?
It means all.
What does it mean in Greek?
It means all.
Oh, amen. I bet you don't know what it means in Spanish.
Yeah. So all is all.
All is all.
All is all.
That sounds like good news, bro.
Yes, sir.
That sounds
yes,
like,
sir.
And it's our privilege. It's our privilege to take it out and, yeah. and give it to a lost and dying world. Mm. And now I believe that God has given us, he's even allowing us to learn. It's like each one of us are on our daily job. If you when you first day on the job, you're like, man, this I'll never learn this.
Yeah.
And then after 15 years on the job, you're looking at the new guy. Will he ever learn this? But now God is honing in on us, and he's saying, he goes, all this evangelism that you're doing, these are all good things. This is good work. By the way, can you define evangelism for me? I'm serious, because people want to know, what is evangelism?
Well, evangelism is taking the good news of Jesus Christ to, and they say the word lost, but I like to say to those that have not come into the knowledge of who he is. So
I like
that. Yeah, because, when you tell people, when you say lost, that's kind of negative connotation, and okay. a lot of people don't, well, I'm not lost, and they're, but they're not realizing that when it comes to your knowledge of Christ and what he can do for you, yes, you are. So that's why I just like to say we're taking it to people that don't know him. So we're just sharing that good news to people that don't know him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I like the way you clarified the definition. That's Brother Fox and I were talking about. Maybe one day we'll start another program or a blog where we encourage teachers, brothers who are their denominational stuff is a little bit different than our denominational stuff. Mm-hmm. And rather than us beating each other upside the head, why don't we do like what Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos? Mm-hmm. They said when they heard him preaching about John's gospel, they mm-hmm. said, we're going to show him a more perfect way. And so you just showed me a more perfect. Instead of telling that joker, you lost.
Yeah.
You hopeless, helpless, you're done.
Yeah.
But
you kind of lose him when you say that.
That's what's been going on.
That's the perfect lead in into our moment of joy.
All right.
Okay.
All
right. Daily dose of joy. Okay. Let me see. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, he says it's like a medicine. This joy, this happiness is like a medicine to my soul. And so it's my contention, it's our contention. Now, folks, you know what? And Pastor, I think you will join me on this. Christians don't laugh enough.
No.
They don't enjoy life enough.
No.
And so to that end, with our daily dose of joy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to attempt to... Oh, I forgot. I got to again on our low budget. You bring me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in. Okay, because we can't afford the record. So anyhow, Eddie, but brother of mine, he was preaching over at this church last week, and he told me it was dead. He said he was preaching his heart out. It was dead. It was dead, man. He said, and the sad thing that happened was a guy passed right in the middle of the sermon, right out in the congregation. Wow. He passed right in the seat. He passed.
Oh,
he
my
passed.
Goodness.
And so, so they call 911. Mm-hmm. They called 911. They had to carry out 22 people before they found the right one. Okay. Okay. And then I read on the internet the gentleman, when we were kids, Brother LeBlanc, you remember that song Hokey Pokey?
Yeah.
You the Hokey Pokey. Yeah. I heard that. I heard that gentleman pass. I heard he passed.
Really?
I heard he passed. And everything was fine, but the Undertakers had a little bit of trouble because every time they put his left foot in,
the right foot came out.
Okay, that's your daily dose of joy.
All right.
And we just hope you enjoy what God is doing in our lives, because y'all, we're going to have fun, and we just want y'all we want to encourage y'all, because our joy is in the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our joy is in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I can't even the Apostle Paul, when he was sitting in jail under not the, how you, some people say the threat of being beheaded. No, it was the promise of being beheaded.
Yeah.
And Paul said, "You know what? I thank my
myself happy.
So if I can't change my situation, I have to change how I think about
the situation.
Right. Because I've got Jesus wherever I'm at, because he promised never to leave, nor forsake me. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that with everybody I come into contact, everybody on the air, everybody at the restaurants, and wherever I go, I want them to know they can have that joy.
That's great, Pastor. That's a perfect segue also to have someone call in and tell us about the last time you tried to share your joy with someone who was unsaved or you thought was unsaved and maybe was. But give us some insight into your last experience. That line is 972-996-3970. Call in on 972-996-3970. You're listening to Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, 1880 Mayfield Road in Grand Prairie, Texas. You can find us online at www.goodshepherdbaptistgp.com. Come join us every first and third Saturday of the month at 1 p.m., right here at KHVN Heaven 97, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. Mm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that, Eddie. And what we're going to get into right now is I'm going to get with Pastor LeBlanc and talk about his book.
Oh, okay.
Because when a man takes the time to write something down, you need to know what he's got to say.
Amen.
You need to know what he's got to say, because the Lord put a lot on his heart. And once we talk about that, we're going to spend at least some time on this brother's teaching over at Southern Bible, giving people tools on how to go out into the community and how to promote this good news. So let's go to the book, talk about that. And then before we get out of here, Pastor, I want you to give us some tools that we might use to go out. So I just got a chance. By the way, where can the folks find your book at?
The book is on, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. The name of the book is On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Reading the Bible, I guess it started back growing up in Louisiana in the 70s and 80s, man. It was a little rough at that time for black and white people to coexist together in harmony. And when I got to Dallas, man, it was a different type of thing. And I noticed that we could do literally everything together. We could have children out of wedlock. We can go to the game. We can sit by each other, work together. But for some reason on Sunday, we couldn't worship together. Scripture tells us in Revelation 7:9 that, behold, I saw a number that no man could number of every nation, of every tribe, of every tongue, all sitting around the throne, praising him who sat on the throne. But nowhere in Scripture does it tell us we have to wait to heaven to experience that.
Amen.
So that was the premise for the book, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, because you can't get to heaven and say, where is the white church, where is the black church, where is the Hispanic church? According to Scripture, we're all going to be around the throne, serving and worshiping. One church.
Yeah.
So would you suggest to us that maybe we start with the Bible and stay with the Bible?
Yeah, I think that's a good model, a good plan, a good blueprint. Yeah, you know, and there have been some great theologians that have written some great books, and I have quite an extension library at my home. But I think God gave us the model. He gave us the model, and if we would kind of just be more obedient and let that word be applied in our lives and our strategies, we could change how church looks.
Amen.
So when you talk about diversity, that brings up bad connotations in my head at some point. So when you say diversity, what does that mean?
Well, I think really people that, we think, first of all, people that don't look like us.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily the case. It could be people that look like us but have a different socioeconomic background. It could be people that have different educational backgrounds. It could be different age levels, from different churches. So, you have to sometimes clarify that, but I just would, people that don't generally look like us, and that's not always with our skin pigmentation.
Right.
That's not always the case. Right. And a lot of people think that. That's what you're thinking. But I tell people when I'm teaching evangelism, and even we just taught the class at Southern Bible Institute in college, that when you, if you're on the street and you're walking and you knock on a door, the bricks may be red, the bricks may be brown, the bricks may be beige, but you don't know who will come to the door, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's how I look at it.
When our children, when Sister Denise and I, when our children were growing up in Arlington, you know, I know Arlington does not have a big gang problem. We know that. But they do exist. And it's been about 15-plus years ago. And so the police had a community forum. And Dallas and Fort Worth, Dallas is having an awful situation with the gangs. And Fort Worth was gaining rank, if you will. But the police in Arlington were saying back then, they said, you know, we got a unique problem here in Arlington. They said because in Arlington, the gangs weren't segregated. Yeah. They were tribal. Like what Brother LeBlanc is saying. Yeah. It's if you're down with my philosophy I don't care what you look like. And see, but and see, that's the philosophy that's supposed to be in the church.
Thank you. And that lets you know that it is a philosophy that these gang leaders have taken and made it work and be applicable in that genre.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that same thing? Because you know what? Like Paul, the thing I love about Paul, and I don't know if you guys know, but when Paul was trying to persecute the church, you know, people, this man walked 100 miles to go persecute Christians. That's how zealous he was. But when he became a Christian, that same zeal he brought with him.
Amen.
You mean Paul in the Bible?
Paul in the Bible.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Let me add this. When we see Moses, and I guess in today's terminology, we would refer to Moses as a show enough. Okay.
Good
word. Apostle Paul, show enough.
Yeah.
They stood. Somehow or another, there seems to be a connotation in the church that when a man, comes into the church, he got to stop being a man.
No.
And I just, you know, all of a sudden he got to bow and scrape and all this other stuff. And the Bible tells me that Moses was strong in word and deed. And Paul, what did Paul say? Paul said, I know y'all done wrote some stuff about me. Don't make me have to come over there. Hey, I'm just, you know, but today, well, you know, I don't argue. I don't ever discuss difficult topics. Why? If you don't, you better. We're talking about life and death. We're talking about folks' souls in the balance.
Joshua said it good. He stood up and said, as for me and my house.
But he didn't take a vote.
And exercising the authority that God wanted for man in the first place in the garden, he was the head of his house.
And so since we say that, let us be quick to add, there's another bad extra-biblical example. It's called Tarzan and Jane. Okay. That doesn't fly. That never was in the Bible.
No.
It never was in the Bible. So I just wanted to put that out there because some folks, you know, the enemy always wants us to take it to one extreme or the other.
Yeah. He hasn't changed.
And so, why change?
Yeah, it's working.
It works.
It's
working. Why change? Yeah. So we want to encourage folks to, you know, there is a biblical model for everything that we do. Yeah. So continue on the
Well, I mean, and that kind of, that really... I had an opportunity. I had planted a church in 2003, and man, that's what we were doing. We were taking it to the streets, and you know, as a church planter, you know, when you run out of family, if you want your church to grow, you're gonna have to start knocking on some doors and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we did. And man, we were baptizing Caucasians and Hispanics, and I mean, we were doing it. And so we formed a relationship with the church because we didn't have a building, and so we went there and we kind of united, emerged with them. I became the associate pastor, but I learned very quickly that you say you want to be all things to all people, but it's one thing to do it in words, but it's another thing to do it in deeds. And
it really is.
And sooner or later, people will find out if you're genuine. And so that really just, after that experience, I just, God just kept sending me back to Revelation 7. He just kept sending me back to it. Because, again, there's no scripture that says we cannot have that here on earth.
Amen.
Nowhere does it say
it
in the Bible.
And, brother, one thing that we have to learn as Christians, if you fail one time. If you fail two times.
Yeah.
What the boy said, he said, I was listening to Floyd Patterson, and just a little while before he passed, and he was talking to a guy. Guy was interviewing him, and the guy said, "He said, Floyd, doesn't it bother you that you're going to go down as history as the man who got knocked down the most in the championship fight?" And Floyd didn't miss a beat because he said, "I will also be known as the man who got up the most times." And that's where we as Christians things. You know, this is not a apple pie.
But the thing about that, Pastor, is the reason why and how we can take that to heart is we got to realize I have a job and God has a job.
Amen.
And as these young, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
Amen.
He told us to go. The scripture says he gives the increase.
Amen.
And we got to be mindful of that. So that's one of the aspects of teaching people about evangelism, that their responsibility is just to be obedient. Let God do what God, he been doing it for a long time, and he knows what he's doing. So a lot of times people don't realize that, you know, well, we went and nobody came.
Yeah.
Okay, but some have planted, some have watered, but God gave the increase.
Amen. Yeah. And to add on to that, now for me, like I told you, as you're on the job for a little bit longer, things become a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
Now I'm really beginning to understand that God says, the reason he said to us, Gentiles, he said, go ye therefore. He said, because I've already scattered my people every place on the planet. Right. And understand this, God told Abraham back in Genesis 12:3, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to use this. And anybody who does take care of you, I'm going to do what for?
I'm going to bless them.
I'm going to bless.
But the thing is, if they curse you, they do bad things to you.
They're in trouble with God.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble with God. And so he is showing us, he's saying, I have scattered my people out of punishment. Well, wait a minute. God punishes people who don't obey him? Yes, he does.
Yes.
Does he still love them?
Yes, he does.
Are they still his?
Yes
they are. He said, I sent them out there, but I made a promise to them. I made a covenant with them. And if God doesn't keep his covenant with them, I can't trust him to keep his covenant with us, with me.
And Pastor, that's the key. He has a promise that he got to keep. They are his chosen people.
Period. Always
had. And he promised them that he would bring them back and they all would be in the land as his chosen people. And that's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well, what I want for you and I and everybody listening, I want us to be participants in that.
Yeah.
I want us to be those who open our mouths because the question that always comes up is, well, Pastor, where do I find Jewish people? I went down to a local pregnancy resource center, a local pregnancy resource center. And I'm talking to the ladies down there, they're friends of ours, and I'm explaining the radio program to them. And they said, oh, wait a minute, we got to go get the new lady. And I said, why? Come here. And they brought the new lady out. And they said, I was talking, and she just sort of looked at me. And she said, my son is married to a Jewish lady from Israel.
Wow.
You don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Until you start talking. You don't know. I'm here trying to talk to other believers, and here she's got a burden for her daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And so, man, this is what we want. That's why we're on Heaven 97. Because these are God's children. These are people who love God, people who fear God, but people who might not have come to that understanding that God says, through your mercy. Through your reaching out, through your being cognizant of the fact that that Jewish man, that Jewish woman, please don't look at him as a good luck charm. Don't do that. That's so bad. And they're not a notch on your belt.
No.
It's somebody you love folks.
Right.
You have to love folks and understand God is giving you and me and everybody listening to this program an integral part of this plan. And he says, through your mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Through your mercy, they shall obtain mercy.
They will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another.
Not by what I say, Not by, but they're going to look at me?
Man, I got a dog. I ain't heard him speak, but I know that dog loved me.
Hey,
when I walk out there in the rain and the cold to feed him in the morning, I know he loved me. So the love that you have, that you show, that you exhibit, because that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He died because he loved us.
Amen.
He died.
And by the way, we were still his enemies.
Yeah.
So he's saying to us, he said, love your enemies. Yeah. No, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Love your enemies. Yeah. Love, pray for those who spitefully use you.
That's it.
And we want to put a, we look for a caveat on that. And it's not there.
No.
And I believe that that is something that hampers the diversity that you're talking about. And just getting the truth of the gospel out, it hampers us.
Well, and I think, you know, we all got an agenda, whether we want to admit it or not. And I think that we need to set aside our agenda and get on board with what God wants us to do. And I mean, just think about it. That's what he said. He, when he went to the disciples, he told them, follow me. Meaning that they had to put aside their agendas as fishermen. Mm. They had to put aside being a tax collector. They had to put all that aside and follow him. And that's the same message we have to
do. Amen. We've got a message that somebody wants to give us, and the number is 972-996-3970. Our number to call in is 972-996-3970. I'm here with Dr. LeBlanc and Pastor Will, and we're waiting to hear your call. This is Listen for the Joy, a listener-supported ministry brought to you by the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Listen for the Joy, encouraging God's children to reach God's chosen. We have an open phone line, 972-996-3970.
Amen. Okay, now, Pastor LeBlanc, you were saying earlier that when you're over teaching the class, folks always want to know, can you give me some help on talking to strangers? Because frankly, I'm just scared.
Well, and it's good. That's good. Sometimes I don't like people that have a lot of bravado or boldness. I mean, boldness to the way that you can do it, but you need to realize if you are scared, because I'm nervous sometimes, but then now you will realize the fact that I can't do this without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can't do it. So don't be afraid of your fear, knowing that that's just going to make you have to rely more so on him. And I just love the biblical, there are so many biblical models about evangelism that people can go. I mean, their books have been written, but I just like those that kind of stick to what the Bible has said about how we ought to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, so,
I'm trying to think, it was when I was thinking about how do we reach them, and I guess just more than anything is esteem others above yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to surrender yourself, man. And I mean, there are some things, I mean, there are fears and there are things that we should be cognizant of as in this society. But again, God has given us direction on how we should do it. We need to be obedient to that. I'm thinking right now of John chapter 4 when he told his disciples, I must go through Samaria. I must go through Samaria. And when he sat there and started talking to that woman,
at the well,
people don't realize that John chapter 4 is a biblical example of evangelism. It is a biblical example of evangelism. And they found out they had something in common. They both were thirsty. They both wanted some water. And just from there, the conversation.
They built a relationship.
There you go. And so it's there. And Luke chapter 10 is another thing I'm thinking about. But they're a constant. And even with you, and listen to the joy. There's a biblical model found in Acts 13. It's there. God has it for us, and we just need to really get on board with his program, put aside our prejudice, our fears, and realize that it's not up to us, because the scripture says he'll give the increase.
Pastor Will made a great point on that.
Uh-huh.
He said he was born
to evangelize because of his diverse background.
Okay.
When he grew up in school, when they talk, tell them about how when they talked about you at school that they knew who it was.
Okay. I grew up in Akron, Ohio, and I'll try to give the Reader Digest version of this. But my parents, we lived in the projects. And fortunately, when I was real young, our apartment burned down. So,
all things.
So it burned down, and we ended up moving out to the country. They call it the suburbs now, but we call it the country. And my family just happened to be the only black family in the whole community.
Wow.
And it was a little bit rougher for my brothers and sisters because they were older. But for me, kids adapt to anything.
Right.
Kids adapt to anything. And so through my life, I've had to deal with different issues and stuff. I was out of class, graduating class of 214. I was it. My family was it. But it didn't bother me because this is how I grew up. And but then to your book, that's why when I saw what you were talking about in your book, I understood early. Well, we got in the car. We went to town. You know, we were like on the Ponderosa.
Yeah,
we got in the wagon. And we drove to town because you don't go over to this church and they don't go to your church.
Right.
And that was so, again, I didn't see God's hand in it. There were some hurtful times. But, but praise God, you know, as many white folks who hurt my feelings, more helped me.
Amen.
And I can't sit here and say I was never hurt by black folks because that's my family.
Right.
So, you know, and so we can't be. And when God gets that word in you.
Yeah.
You cannot, you will not, you must not be selective.
Right.
You must not be selective.
Right.
And so we have to embrace everybody. When God brings people into your path, I don't care what you've done to me. There's nobody that I dislike so much. I want to see them spend eternity separated from God. Nobody. Yeah. So he's
Amen.
He and that God had to do that because you know.
Oh yeah.
As you said, growing up in Grand.
Oh man, it was rough. It was rough.
It's just a whole different world.
Right. And I mean, when I left there, man, when I got here, when I was driving I-20 West, I had in my mind, I'm not finna take this from. I'm done taking this. I had put on a little weight. My shoulders were a little wider.
And y'all got to understand, this is a big man.
And but that love, man.
I shared that same attitude that you had.
Yeah.
I went to a high school where there were 4,000 students. 3,700 of them were Jewish, and 300 were Gentile. I did not know the difference.
Yeah.
So when I came to school, I made up in my mind that if one white person said one bad thing to me, I was going to unleash them.
We're going to set it off in here.
And all it was kindness.
Yeah.
All I ever got was kindness. And I love these people to this day.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart that many of my friends aren't saved.
Well, brother, and the thing that gets me is if you just go to a daycare center a little bit, they don't know the difference.
That's right.
At some point, it's taught, it's
Amen.
Embedded into them.
Amen.
But the prime example is any daycare center, any place you go, you can tell by how they interact, how they play, they could care less.
That's right.
Amen. So why not?
Yeah.
Why not in God's house of worship do we not have that same mindset and that same attitude?
Right.
Even better.
Right. So I mean and even that and that was again when I was thinking about the book, I was thinking about how he says, you know, out of the mouth of babes. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we need to start it at in our children's ministry or at our daycares at our church? I mean, do we need to be a little bit more creative with how we're doing it? Because it seems like when we get older, it shows the power of the ruler of this earth, who the ruler of the air, the prince, it shows his power that he's able to inflict his purpose and his plan on us as opposed to what God has for us. Because, I mean, these little children, man, they have no clue, no sense of difference whatsoever. So,
And we have to fight the flesh. We have to fight our fleshy nature to not slip back in. I mean, you know, saved, sanctified, set apart folks have to fight that fleshy nature to not get caught in it.
I mean, and that's, you know, I think that's a big struggle that we all have, and we need to remember that while we were, as according to Scripture, dead in our trespasses and sin, he demonstrated his love. He showed us how much he loved us by giving his only son. The thing about it is there is just so much that we have to be joyous for. And people need to see that. They need to see that joy in everything that we do. They just need to see it. They need to see it.
We've got a call in. Caller?
Hello. This is Keith Howell. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hello, hello.
Wrong number, wrong number, wrong
Keith
number.
Keith is from Grambling, too.
Brothers, it's a pleasure just to hear you all share the word with, first of all, two of my brothers in the ministry at our old Mount Island days, and then my neighbor, Dunbar Street, stand up in Grambling.
Yes, sir.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Bless y'all for what y'all doing.
Thank you, my brother. Good to hear your voice, man. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
Y'all doing well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're doing well. Yeah. We're doing well.
We're just trying to do what the Lord telling us to do, man.
You need to come join us. Miss Rosetta will let you come. Just ask her.
Well, I just found out.
Okay. All right.
And now that I know... No excuse.
All right. All right.
Just listen for the joy, brother. Listen for the joy.
Okay.
And we're going to pack it up here.
All right, man.
Y'all keep on going.
Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it, man. Bless you, brother.
All right, Pastor Will. As we crank up the joy, tell us what we got for next week.
Okay. Well, first, I want to say thank you to Pastor LeBlanc for setting aside some time. And again, y'all, where's the book at?
The book is at Amazon.com.
Title?
Title of the book is On Earth as It Is in Heaven. On Earth as It Is in Heaven. A diverse look for community in a diverse community in diverse society.
Patrick LeBlanc.
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can get the book.
And if you want to get the rest of the story. You come to Good Shepherd Baptist Church tomorrow, 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. He's going to be bringing the message for us at 10:45. Sunday school starts at 9:15, and he will be there at 10:45 a.m. And we are excited to see what the Lord has placed on his heart. And we want to say thank you to him for coming out here today. And I want to tell y'all what's coming up. Okay, now you know you got a few tools. Oh, number one tool for evangelism. The best tool for witnessing to people is the one that you'll use. Whatever that happens to be, use it. Okay, amen. Yeah. I can give you a whole bunch of stuff, yeah. But if you ain't going to use it, it's no big deal.
Right.
If it's saying howdy, just use it, whatever it is. Yeah. Amen. And so what we have coming up, our next program is going to be on April 2nd. And on April 2nd, let me get it open here. On April 2nd. Oh, March. My bad. My bad.
March.
March 2nd. You say I have April. She probably wrote that. Y'all want to know how my eye got bad? Okay. Anyhow, it's going to be March 2nd. We have coming to join us on March 2nd a dear brother. His name is Dr. Phil Savalaski. Mm-hmm. I like to refer to him as Dr. Phil.
The real Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Phil is actually an evangelical preacher, blood bought, washed in the blood. And what's very interesting about Dr. Phil Savalaski is he was raised in a Orthodox Jewish home.
Wow.
And he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He went to a crusade, and Lord touched him. He was in Florida, and Lord touched him. And he went home, and he was excited to tell everybody, the good news. And he was greeted with, you need to make a choice.
Yeah.
You need to make a choice.
Wow.
It's your family
or
this Gentile Jesus.
Wow.
And so y'all tune in with us on March 2nd.
That's going to be good.
And it's very interesting and very excited. Dr. Savalaski has he has a book out. He'll talk about that when he comes. But he, you know, when the Bible says, when Isaiah says, who's going to believe our report?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. You know, are you going to believe when the Bible says that God loved you so much that he gave. We hear that so much, it just kind of glosses over us.
Yeah.
And first off, when I'm yet his enemy, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, going back to Pastor LeBlanc's book, whosoever
us try to limit and make the
be selective.
Good news. Yeah, be selective right. And make the good news yeah. difficult. How yeah. dare we?
Right.
Like, and he goes, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want people, and then once they get that gift, yeah. then we'll worry about helping clean them up.
Right.
Train them up.
Right.
But you know, don't be sweating on. Go ahead.
The Holy Spirit does that.
The Holy Spirit. Right.
Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes along and says, okay, I got you now. Mm-hmm. I got you and I'm going to keep you. Once saved, always saved.
Right. Always saved. You belong to me.
That's
you belong
right.
to me. And we are going to let people know that you just, it's an inside job. Christianity yeah. is an inside job.
Yes.
And once y'all believe, right now you can take that opportunity. You can confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart and ask God to come into your life and take
right
control
now.
Of your life right here, right now.
Right now.
And then you call, we'll rejoice with you. You come out and see Pastor LeBlanc, come see us. We just love to have you. But we want that everybody should come to faith in Jesus Christ. So, Eddie, I'm going to turn it over to you. We're looking forward to coming back on March 2nd.
March 2nd.
And what are we going to do in the meantime?
Crank up the joy. Hey. We want you at the church tomorrow, and we're going to crank up the joy in a way that you had not thought possible.
Amen.
Pastor LeBlanc is going to bring the message, and I'm just ready and excited to hear.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, folks.
You almost bind us together. So the world might be